Now can we get the priest up? We can't even get the priest up. Wow. Okay. Are we going to be able to do that video deal? You're going to try? Okay. I can't believe this because I'm so wanting all this to come together and just so many people wanting to listen to the message. But anyway, God knows about it. I'm just going to go with it and not worry about it. But let's pray as we begin to preach today and we'll take off. Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we're going to rejoice in the Lord and be glad. And Lord, David said he's glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. God, I tell you, I'm thankful for church. And I thank you, God, that for believers and fellowship in Christ, we're thankful, Lord, for your word today. And Lord, we pray that we'd be in this thing, Lord, for your glory, not for what we can get out of it. I pray, God, help us to give of our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirit today, our worship to you. And Lord, I pray, help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us to see his love and his grace and his mercy and his power and his goodness. And God, his eternalness today. And the Lord, help us to see Christ through looking at the great high priest. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, I thank you that you can take an old stone and turn him into a jewel. God, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm preaching today on the subject of how God takes stones and turns them into jewels. Okay? That's kind of the type of the subject. And we're going to be looking now at Exodus chapter 28. By the way, I'm shocked at how many people showed up, really. And I'm thankful you're here. Just be really careful when you're in a parking lot and you're going home today, all righty? Other than that, you're on your own. Let's take off here in chapter 28. And we're going to, in verse number 15. Verse number 15. Everybody there say amen. Amen. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment. This is what we're looking at, is the breastplate of judgment that was on the front of the priest there. With cunning work. Now, remember that. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it. And here's the materials. Gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and the fine twine linen, thou shalt make it. Four squares shall it be doubled. A span shall be the length thereof. A span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones. Now, here's these stones. Even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, or a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the end of the wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and thou shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold shalt thou make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, and toward the forepart thereof, over against the other couplings thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. I believe that'll be all we'll read today. And just going back, I do wish I had the overhead up so I could show you the picture of the... you think, oh, my land, look at there. Thank you, Lord. Answered prayer. Appreciate that. Very, very much. And so let's look again this morning, if we can, at the breastplate here. This is the attire of the great high priest. And know this, that the great high priest is a picture, is a physical picture in the Old Testament tabernacle temple system of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I need a priest between us and God. Thank you, Brother Joel. Appreciate that, all of you. On this, and we're going to go explicitly this morning to this breastplate. As it is, it's four squares. It's got these 12 stones in it. It's chained with rings here, and rings here is chained to the shoulder stones that are up here. So we have this two important things, the shoulder and the breastplate. And we're going to talk about those this morning. Then we're going to move from, we're going to review a couple of weeks ago, and then we're going to go straight into the stones this morning. And so anyway, we looked at the seven garments about that, that the there's an ephod, there's a girdle, there's a robe, there's a coat, there's a mitre, there's a crown, and there's a breastplate. In Exodus 28, verse number 4, the breastplate is mentioned first. And that puts it preeminent, and it makes it that has great purpose of the priest. And I want you to remember this, that he goes into the Holy of Holies once a year, not without blood. And he's a picture of Jesus Christ after he was raised from the dead, appearing in the holy place for you and I, a priest before Almighty God. The breastplate's workmanship, first of all, we talked about a couple, 3 weeks ago, was this. There's five materials that used in it: gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and linen. The gold speaks of the deity of Jesus Christ. The blue speaks that he's heavenly, or he's high above us. He's heavenly. The purple speaks of his royalty. In the book of Hebrews now, and by the way, I'll just give this out. Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 7, chapter 9, and chapter 10 is continuously about the doctrine of the great high priest. And I, you know, can't go back to all that this morning in way of review, but just to keep that in mind. But that royalty, he was the king of righteousness, and he's the king of priests. The scarlet is a picture of our redemption, the blood redemption of Jesus Christ. And the linen is a picture of the righteousness of Christ, the perfect righteousness of Christ that's imputed to you and I through faith. Now, it's not an accident that there are five materials in the workmanship, because five is the number of grace. And the very nature and the essence of grace is that we receive favor and blessing through the work and the merit of another and not ourselves. Amen. The great high throne. That's why in Hebrews 4, it's called the throne of grace. And there's five materials involved in that. We saw also a week or so ago that it's made four square. It's square four right here. Four is the number of the world. And the gospel of grace is given to the entire world. Whosoever will, let him come. Jesus has tasted, he tasted death for every man. It also tells us that God does things decently and in order. There's just so much that you can learn of doctrine from just the study of this breastplate. We also learned that it was doubled. God said, I want you to double it. And we said that means two times four, which is eight. Eight's the number of new beginning. It speaks of resurrection. It speaks of eternal life. And then we said it's a span. God called it a span. A span is from your little finger to your thumb. In the old time, I can remember as a boy, how they would measure horses by spans. But we said this, what's the learning from that? Well, the span both ways is in the New Testament. It said no one's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No one's able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father and I are one. It perfectly fits John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29 and 30, this span of the doubled breastplate there. Jesus said, I and my Father are what? One. Now, so we're going to have some review so far as what speaks of. We said the gospel is in the colors and it's in the materials. Grace, the gospel of grace is in the numbers of the workmanship. The recipients of the availability is the whole world, the dimension, four by four, but doubled out. And the result of this doubling is that resurrected life in Jesus Christ, in newness of life of Jesus Christ in him. But on his shoulders speaks of strength, and on his breast speaks of affection. And so we see the strength and the power in the doubling, and we see the safety and security of the believer shown in the span. They're kept in the hand of God. Then we're looking this morning at these stones. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, God says, ye also are lively stones. Now, I'm not a jeweler. I wouldn't know a diamond from a broken piece of glass. I mean, honestly. And honestly, you showed me, said, Reggie, that's a precious stone. I might say, well, it looks good, but you could fool me easily. I'm glad there are people that know about it. But I want to just say this in reference. This was primarily to the Jewish nation. There's a reason that the Jews are called Jews. That's short for jewels. And I tell you that the world's attitude might be different against the Jews if we'd call them jewels instead of Jews. But isn't it interesting that Jews are in the jewelry business all over the world? They control the jewel business around the world. God ordained that right here in the book where you're reading. That doesn't mean that they're all nice or nothing like that, but I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't mean we're nice either. But the stones here in 1 Peter chapter 4 is referring to the church. So there's a double application here. There's a primary application for the nation of Israel on those 12 stones, but there are 12 apostles to the church. And in the New Testament, God takes this picture teaching and then applies it to the believers in Christ. And he says, ye are also lively stones that were to be alive in Christ. So we see the place of the setting. It's on the breast, the place of affection and love. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says that God has set the members as it pleased him in the church. And it speaks of us, and I just want to give this before we move on about the stones, that those stones are resting on the bosom of Christ. And John the Apostle at the Last Supper gave you a picture of this with his head resting on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ, a picture that it is finished and that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, and you and I can rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ in our salvation. Now there's a significance of the breastplate. Again, reviewing the great message and foreshadow is here, is that Christ, our great high priest, bearing us, the stones, upon his heart, carrying us upon his shoulders, keeping us, sustaining us, representing us, and presenting us faultless before the throne of God. Thank you, boys. Appreciate that. We're back live. Anyway, should I start all over? No. Now watch this verse toward the end of the Bible. In Jude, verse 24, it says this, now unto him, Jesus Christ, that is able to keep you from falling. Why is he able to keep you from falling? Because you're set in gold. How many thinks that Jesus Christ is going to have us in his breastplate, carried on his shoulders, walking into the Father to bring us, represent us to God, and going to lose one of them stones down and fall to the ground? Impossible. Not happening. We're kept by the power of God. We are set inside the gold setting as stones of God. And I'll show you something further about that that's just wonderful. But he said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, I got some good news for you. And if you don't believe this, I'm sorry, but no wonder you never shout. But I'm going to tell you this. My Savior, my great high priest, I'm a sinner. I'm worthy of hell. I do not have a right to enter into the presence of God. I have been separated by my sin. But because I have received Jesus Christ, my Savior, he then becomes my great high priest. And I am placed in him. And I am carried by him. Amen. And I am kept by him. Amen. And I am presented faultless in him because I have his righteousness. Amen. And I am presented to the Father in Jesus Christ. This is a picture of how you, those stones that are saved, are being brought into the presence of God the Father, and how God the Father is accepting you in Jesus Christ, not in of ourselves, but we're accepted in the Beloved. Okay? This making sense? All right. I know it's a lot of teaching, but it's good for us. In chapter 28, verses 9 through 12, it talks about the shoulders. In way of review again, the strength. The shoulder speaks of the strength of Christ that is engaged in our salvation and our security. Because the Bible says we are kept by the power of God. The shoulders of Christ, the high priest, represent his power to keep us. I'm telling you this morning, I would not be kept. I would not make it to glory were it not that he keeps me by his power. I'm telling you. Yeah, we can talk about this sin, that sin, the other sin. There's a lot of sins we don't talk about much. There's sins of the heart, sins of the spirit, sins of the mind. And I'm just telling you right now, the older I get, the more I realize if Christ does not satisfy the just demands of a holy God in my place for me, I have no hope. But I'm telling you, whether this, you may not like the sound of this, but I'm on that breastplate. I'm represented in them stones as one, a believer in Christ. And in Christ, I'm going to be presented faultless. And by the way, happy day, you're going to be presented faultless to the Father in Jesus Christ. How many feels faultless this morning? I don't feel faultless. But my faultlessness is not in my performance. It is in my Savior. And that's why He gets all the glory. Amen. He gets all the glory because it's His righteousness and it's His power and it's His glory that takes us into the presence of the Father. By the way, as I said last week, talking about the old shepherd, and I don't want to get in that, but man alive, you talk about a message somebody wants to preach. In Luke 15, that story of the sheep and the shepherd, you got the shoulders. That's where He puts him at, amen? He puts that sheep on His shoulders. And did you know in that story that He takes him all the way home? Hey! I'm telling you, He put me on His shoulders when He saved me. And He ain't going to get me halfway there. He said, now you walk the rest of the way. He doesn't drop you off His shoulders halfway to heaven and say, now you're going to make it on your own. I'll see you when you get there. No, sir. He carries the sheep back home. But anyway, they're singing, and that's a whole other message. But then there's not just the shoulders, but the breastplate. And the breast speaks of the place of heart, the affection, the love of God. And for God so loved the world. God commended His love toward us. We just read a while ago. And it's the affection. I'm telling you what, you listen to me this morning. You may not love yourself, but God loves you. You may loathe yourself. You may hate yourself some days, but I'm going to tell you right now, God never feels that way toward you. He is carrying you on His heart. Boy, that's a blessed thought, isn't it? That He's carrying us on His heart. It's a place of affection. It represents not the shoulders represent the power and the strength, but the breast represents the affection and the love. And so we have both the power, the shoulders, and the love, the breast, involved in the salvation and the security of the child of God. And then here's a blessed thing we finished up on, is that those are connected by golden chains and golden rings so that there is no action of His strength and His power that is not connected to His affection and His love. Are you listening to me? There's nothing happening to you of God's power but what is connected to His affection and love for you. And you may think that God is allowing some rough things to happen, but He never disconnects His power from His affection toward you. So that you can know that when you're going through tough times, when you're being chastised, it's still connected to His love and His affection for you. I hope you appreciate these truths today. And so we move into these stones. First of all, they were engraved. Five times in that chapter we read the word grave or engraving or graven was mentioned. Again, five, the number of grace. And God has engraven us upon His heart. Isaiah talks about this. In John chapter 10 said that the shepherd knows the sheep's name and they know him. And He engraves your name. Let me tell you something. Names are important. Amen. Names are important. Honey, I just come up with something we've never done. We should have named our baby. Name the babies you lose. God does. Name them. I'm glad that God's got my name on His heart. It's no little deal for God to tell Moses. He said, Moses, I want you to write that name right. I want you not just write it, I want you to engrave that name. I am so thankful when I walk up to the rotunda of the capital of the state of Missouri that they've engraved those Bible verses up there. Somebody would get a sander out if they didn't, or a paintbrush or something. Aren't you glad your name is engraved? I'm talking to people saved today now. And I hope this means something to you, that your name is engraved and carried upon the heart of the Lord. These stones were set in gold settings. Gold in the Bible speaks of deity. I am hid with Christ in God. B.R. Lakin said, for the devil to ever get me now, he'd have to come through Jesus and come through God. He didn't want to make it. I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. These stones are set. You're talking about, hey, you ladies got a wedding ring this morning. You got a little diamond or whatever it might be there. and it's set in there, you say, well, I lost my diamond out. I'm going to tell you, he ain't losing none of his. And I'll tell you why pretty soon. I'll show you why he's not losing any of them. And so their stones are set in gold. They're enclosed with Christ. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And then, as I said, the chains were of pure gold. And those are five times in the chapter, speaking of the grace of God that keeps us. And the believers are chained to our high priest. Do you know what Jesus said? Of all that thou hast given me, I've lost none except the son of perdition. And I tell you something, you listen to me, I'm not trying to be smart or nothing or nothing about it. But if you believe you can lose your salvation, what you believe is, I said if you're really saved, what you believe is the chain's going to break and the setting's going to get messed up and lose it out. You have to believe that. You have to believe that our high priest, who has presented this picture of his care and love and salvation to us and security, that one of these stones would fall out and he would go, watch this, go into the presence of God having lost what he was to take care of. Did you know it's once he saves you, it's his responsibility to take you through? Or the ring would have to break. Or the chain would have to break. Let me tell you about the doctrine of people believing you can lose your salvation. Their concept of God's all warped. Totally warped. I'm sorry, not trying to be mean. I'm sure they're innocently, sincerely innocent about, but they do not understand and it's warped. Because I'm to the point after studying Scripture that for me to look up to my Savior, knowing what I know about Him, to say, oh, you're going to lose me. Because I'm very aware that I'm not keeping myself. And if He doesn't keep me, I'm in trouble. And then we looked at the rings. There are seven times in the chapter, which means that there is a completion. That ring here speaks of eternity. And He gave me what? Eternal life. That's a symbol. A ring is a symbol of a what? An unending relationship. When you took that ring of your spouse and you held that ring and you said those vows and you slid that ring on, it was a symbol of an unending relationship. It was a symbol of eternity. In fact, that's why we say till death do us part, because it's a picture of Christ in the church. And can I tell you that Jesus said, I'm he that was dead, and I was he that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive evermore? And did you know the heavenly the husband is never going to die? And that he has given us eternal life and we're not going to die. And so if it's a death to do us part, we ain't never going to die. And now the stones. There's 12 of them. 12 is a number of government. That means that God is to govern our lives. Listen to me. This is important stuff right here. Christ saved you, redeemed you, through His grace, His mercy, His power, and His love, and set you in Himself and gave you eternal life. He put these 12 stones in there, and He's telling you something. I am going to govern your life. That means when He says something in that book, we ought to do it. We are not running our own life. We are not determining what marriage is. Or is not. We are not to determine what the church is to be and what it's not. We're not to determine how we dress. We're not to determine our conduct. He is to govern our lives. That's part of this message. I mean, He is telling you straight up, yes, I love you. Yes, my strength will carry you, but I am to govern you. By the way, can I say something to you? Watch this. If you're in that gold and that breastplate, He is governing you. So I tell you this morning, that if He's not governing your life, maybe you're not in the breastplate. I want to give you something. I know this blows some people out of the water. But the Bible said in 1 Peter 2:4 that these stones are chosen of God. A man told me recently that he watched a situation where a preacher got up and just read and mentioned about predestination, a passage of Scripture that talks about being predestinated. And a man in the church that kind of run the church said, you'll never preach about that here again or we'll get rid of you. He was so free will. And whether you like it or not, free will is in the Bible. Whosoever will, let him come. But I have chosen you and foreordained you and predestinated you is in the Bible too. And you say, well, I can't wrap that around my brain. That's because me and your brain's too small. Predestination, chosen. You say, Reggie, listen, here's where I want to go about. I don't know a good rock. I might pass over a diamond. There'd been no use for me to go to Arkansas diamond hunting. Wouldn't know one if I saw it. Right? But he's a jeweler.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. What God does, he chooses rocks that you and I wouldn't choose.
Yeah.
Sometimes he goes over to the Wright County Jailhouse and chooses a rock. Sometimes he chooses something that you and I wouldn't use at all. We'd say, no, that won't be no good. But you see, he's taking it to the lapidary. He's taking it to the place where they work on rocks. Do you know what a church is? It's a place where God works on rocks. It's a place where God works on stones. The Bible said, to whom coming as a living stone, disallowed of men. What's that mean? Oh, we don't want that rock in church. Oh, God would never save him. We don't want that drunk. We don't want that drug head. We don't want that person. But chosen of God. I'm glad God chose me. Now you say, Reggie, why did he choose you? Oh, I was so nice. I was such a sweet little boy. I don't know. But I know one thing. He didn't choose me because I was a good man. He chose me out of his sovereign grace and mercy and love. If you can explain all that, you tell me why you're in Norwood, Missouri today, in America, and you're not in Saudi Arabia with your shoes off, bound down before Allah. You can't explain that to me. But I'm telling you something. He chose you. He looked down. See, second thing, he not only chose you, but he said you're precious. And this is what I want to talk about. Jewels are precious. But I don't tell you how they get precious, but it's by the jeweler working on them. And he said, they're precious. There's a difference in stone. But I want to tell you this much. Let me say this to you. If other believers, you and I are not the only believers in the world. I'm not the only saved man in this church house. And can I tell you something, Brother Matt? If you're precious in God's eyes, you ought to be precious in my eyes. And you know what we ought to see? At least try to believe and have enough faith to know that though that stone may not look like much today, God's not done working on it. It's precious. Chosen, it's precious, and there's a difference. These stones aren't all alike. Praise God. How'd you like to just have little mannequins in here, everybody just alike? How'd you like to have 200 Reggie sitting here? Hell on earth, amen? Never go home. You know something? People are different. We need to make allowances for that. People's personalities are different. How'd you like to have a church house full of Don Zins? Aren't you glad people are different? I'm glad that God put He's got all these different stones. And this is a great truth God wants us to know. He said, I want you to look at this. You're not all going to be alike. And you're going to have different personalities and different spiritual gifts and different perspectives about things. But you're all one in Christ. The jewels on his breastplate are durable. You will endure because of him. These gems are cut. How many's being cut on? How many said, Reggie, ever since I got saved, God's been cutting on me? He's still cutting on me. I'm glad. But he's turning me from a stone to a jewel. May not be getting along very far, but he's working on it. His little song says, he's still working on me. They were cut and they were polished. Next thing is these jewels are polished. Polishing comes by sandpaper. It can get rough. I'm going to tell you, you listen to me. There's so much in this breastplate, you'll probably mean you'll never get a hold of it all between here and glory. But I'm going to tell you right now, God will put you in a church, and he's going to cut on you right there in the middle of that church, and he's going to grind on you right in the middle of that church, and he's trying to polish you for his glory in the middle of the church. But if you bust out, so I tell you what, I ain't letting Don Zinn grind on me like that. I ain't letting Phil Wilson grind on me like that. I'm not letting Ralph grind on me like that. Ralph said something and get ground on me. Iron, sharper than iron. I've said church is a laboratory where God is going to teach you how to love people that it's not easy to love. But I'm going to give you something else. If our hearts are overflowing with the love of Jesus Christ, it is not that hard to love people. When I'm backslid, it gets really hard to love people. They're cut, they're polished, but these stones do something else. They reflect. And you and I are to reflect our Lord Jesus Christ, his glory, his beauty, his light. Those stones are set. And by the way, they're set where he wanted them. But I had a visit with one of the stones this morning. He's not happy. I visited with this stone right down here. He's upset. He said, set me down here in the corner. Nobody notices me. So I don't know why I wasn't set right up here in the middle. Great lesson there. Bloom where you planted. Be where God puts you to be. Do what God set you to do. They're set where God wants them to be at. Then they're united in one. Oh, how God talks about that in John chapter 17. And they're accepted. These gems are accepted in the Beloved. These stones are accepted to the Father because they're on the breast of the Son. And the gems are carried and borne upon his heart. Again, the place of love and affection. He loves you with an everlasting love. Yeah, I know we mess up. But I'm telling you right now, you're never going to mess up so bad God don't love you. He may whoop you all over the farm, but he still loves you. Those stones are connected, these gems are connected to his shoulder. Again, the evidence of his strength and power. These gems are enclosed in gold. We're put in Christ, deity God. And then they're presented faultless to the Father at the throne. Now I want to ask you a question. Who on earth did all this work? You find the answer in chapter 31, verse 5, and I'm going to try to run quickly. In 31, chapter verse number 5, the Bible says a man by the name of Bezaleel was told to do all this work. Well, this is good. This will be a blessing to you. Uri and Bezaleel. Uri means fiery and energetic. Bezaleel means under the shadow of the Almighty. These men that did the work of these cutting these stones and all the work of this breastplate were a picture of the Holy Ghost. I want to give you one of the greatest truths you'll ever get a hold of in this church, right off this breastplate. The man that did this work, who found the stones, cut the stones, polished the stones, made the settings, set the settings, made the chains, made the rings, did it all, is a picture of the Holy Ghost. Now please listen to me. This will help you. When you come to church here, or when you're at your house and you're trying to have family devotions, always remember it is not Reggie trying to conform you. I am not the one who's making this. And parents are not the one who can make the breastplate for their own children. It takes the Holy Ghost. And without the Holy Ghost of God, it'll not be done. And man, I'm telling you, in the middle of that thing, if you'll see that it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Never, hey, please, young people, please, please, please listen to me. Never allow Satan to tell you that you should be conformed to me. God forbid that it should be me grinding on you. God forbid that it should be me cutting on you. But the Holy Ghost of God doing it. Now, does God use human instruments? Yes, he does. I'm going to give you something pretty sweet here about this. But by the way, it is God that worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Now, up on top of this man's shoulders, there are two ox stones. And there's an ox stone down here. But some of the sweetest stuff in the Bible right here. Man. And it explicitly says that they were there for a memorial. Okay? Ox stones on the shoulder, ox stone on the breastplate. It's interesting that you find onyx stones in the garden, watch this, before man sinned, and in Revelation 22, after man sins. You know what he's telling you? Watch this. That Christ is eternal. He was here before man sinned. He will be here after man, after when he was here when sin wasn't here, and he will be here when sin is not here anymore. He is the first and the last. But he has an onyx down here, and you know what he's doing now? It tells you this, that he took care of the past as if there were no sin. He's got the future taken care of, no sin. And he's got the present taken care of, no sin. You're presented perfect in Christ. Now, there's one little last thing on this that blesses my heart. You know what it's telling you? I've got you. What? Good. I've got your past covered. I've got your present covered. And I've got your future covered. Would to God we'd rest in Christ. Well, the biggest thing about this breastplate is this, is that it's called three times in that chapter, it's called the breastplate of judgment. What he's doing is, as Jesus is our high priest, he's ever living to make intercession for you and I, and he bears our judgment. He bears the wrath of a holy God against our sin. And that's why it's called the breastplate of judgment, because God is looking at us in Christ. And you know what he sees? Christ's hands, Christ's side, Christ's sacrifice. And we are not bearing the judgment we deserved because Christ bore it. And that's why it's called the breastplate of judgment. Now, the thing to ask you this morning is he your high priest? Now, I've got some other stuff I want to preach. I'm going to save it concerning the Urim and the Thummim. And I'll save that till another time. Here's what I want to close with today and say this. These stones represent people. Now I got to think about this week. The people I know in this church. People I meet. And again, if God says that they're special, they ought to be special in my eyes. God says they're chosen. That he said, Reggie, I've chosen them. I'm cutting on them. I'm setting them. I'm enclosing them. I'm carrying them. I'm keeping them. I'm presenting them before the Father perfect in Christ. Reggie, they're precious to me. They're chosen. But I honestly believe we could never understand the depths of this unless we find out in the Bible something else about jewels. And it's in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17 where God says, he speaks about his jewels. And this changed me. Somebody said, oh, a message last week changed me. This message changed me. Let's see. Is there anybody in here I don't like? Hey, folks, we got a new baby. I'm sorry, I forgot about that. I saw it and I forgot about it. We'll do something before we leave here today. Oh, what a wonderful example. That's the cutest little rascal. Did you know another jewel was born? It's really funny because this week it's been all about this abortion deal, and the value of life and babies and so forth. And I was studying this message, and I was like, God's kept kind of burning me, Reggie. The people you're meeting, in my eyes, are jewels. You may not see them that way. I wonder, would it change the way we look at each other if we could see ourselves in Christ as jewels? So I got to thinking about, who are the jewels in church? And then I thought about that old song that the saints used to sing. By the way, you can't copyright somebody else's edition of it, but it has no copyright on it. It's called When He Cometh. And some, it's got two titles the song does. One of the titles is When He Cometh, and the other title is Precious Jewels. Well, I knew that Alison Krauss sung that song, so I pulled it up. And it's got this little deal. And I mean, it's like the Lord said, Reggie, do you realize the jewels that you've had the privilege of going to church with all these years? Do you realize the jewels that are sitting there every week? There are jewels, Reggie, in my breastplate. Do you see them, Reggie, as I see them? Do you see them as I see them? And so you know what we're going to do today? I got to thinking about all the people. I hope it'll work. You think it'll work, Joel? We're going to try it here. So I called Susanna. I said, Susanna, could you make me a clip to play at church? She says, what is it? And I told her what I wanted to do. Then I put out an email, and I'm going to say before I start here, we didn't hear back from everybody. We did best we could, so if I've left some. What I was wanting to do is get a picture of every saint of God, the elderly that has passed away here at church since I've been pastoring. And now I see those people as jewels. And then I had her to mix in all a bunch of the little pictures of kids in the church. And I don't know whether we're going to get it or not, but I'm telling you what. I think that if we had in our heart and our mind that we are jewels, we'd treat each other a little bit better. We'd see a little bit better value of each other. Does that make sense? Anybody got a diamond ring handy? Anybody got a diamond ring handy you don't care to part with? Karen, you got yours on? Maybe she'll trust me with hers.
She doesn't trust me.
I bought that 1976. I sold 3 Hereford cows that I owed money against to buy that. That's the truth. That's bad, isn't it?
It's worth 3 cows.
It's worth 3 cows. She's worth 3 cows. But you know, she's kept that all these times. Now she likes rocks.
Amen.
She loves rocks. Anywhere we go, Terry, I mean, she will steal them out of the state of Colorado if she can't get out of the state with them. Different times I've wondered if we was going to get picked up on the way out, you know. She goes to the state park, steals them off the state of Missouri. Oh, get that rock. And she loves rocks. But this little rock right here, this little stone right here, she's kept pretty good. She doesn't leave it out at night. Here's what I'm going to get to you. If I would just see her as a jewel of God, her value in Christ, I think it changed the way I maybe even talked to her. If I could see the value in you people, here's what I want. When I see us in Christ there, I see the value of my brethren in the Lord up higher. We take better care of things we have value to. We take better care. When I think about these little kids that's being killed all over this nation, there's a clock you can find on the internet. It's a clock that tells you how many children are being killed it just runs. Just in America, it's like 1,300 an hour average. And I thought, oh my God, if we could see those little unborn children as jewels. And I don't know, you have any success? We're going to watch this now. It's pretty short. Karen, if we ever get tough luck, honey, I may have to hawk this thing off. I don't know. I'll sell it for Excel you, okay? We're going to try this. Now, some people in here you may not recognize, but we've got the video done. If we didn't get somebody in that you think about, we can always add it in. But we'll try and see what happens.
LT Cora Hopper. Some of the first people I ever pastored. Zenoids. Sister Marilyn Williams. Rodney Wilson, Sister Susan's husband. Brother Forrest, Mrs. Loveless. Little Jewel, pretty rough. That's me and Karen's little Jewel. Karen's daddy. Billy Eichelberger. Richard Ingraham. Charles Hicks. One of my little jewels. Les McAllister. Wayne Hart. That's my mom and dad back over to the left. Bunch of kids singing that to him. Jack Cradivel. Jack Klein. The Quink Boy. John. Doug Hepburn. Millie Ferris. Charles Hicks. I'm honest with you. Whose is that? I know that one. That's the Souter clan. Is that the end of it, Susanna? Huh? There's some more? Okay, it's thinking. Brother Dale Garapi.
Yeah, that's having a hard time.
That's all right. We're you guys at least making it happen. I appreciate it. What I will do is we'll anybody that wants this, we can contact Susanna and she'll send you a clip of it, okay? Have it sent to you through your... This is Brother Smith, Sandy and Sheila's daddy. I don't know who that is. He's a Kelly, he likes ice cream. Okay. Well, as you know, the technical situation here today hadn't been all that great, but it's really a blessing to watch that thing. And, she sent that to me about a little after midnight last night, and one of the first pictures of LT and Cora. The LT stood right back in there for you. Told me some of the greatest truths I've ever needed. It has helped keep me stable 30-some years later. And they're jewels in my eyes. And when you see these kids, so now show us that jewel right over here, would you? Old Doc Eli there. Look at there, folks. Ain't that something? Amen. Well, anyway about it, here's the message to you. God takes stones, makes jewels, carries us, cuts on us, presents us to the Father faultless. And he puts jewels in our lives, people. And I would to God that we in this church would look at each other as jewels, maybe not all sanded up real good, But nonetheless, jewels of the Lord, and appreciate each other that way. Let's stand and go home. And
you know, Reggie, I was thinking about with polishing rocks, and when you polish rocks, you put a bunch of unpolished rocks in a tumbler.
Yeah, they bounce each other.
And then you start out with your coarse grit, and then it tumbles, you know. So it's like God puts us all in this tumbler.
Amen. That's what church is. Church is a tumbler.
Yeah.
You bounce off everybody. Oh, my goodness. Well, the Lord bless all you jewels, rocks. Brother Lakey, would you dismiss us from our service today, please?